Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, conversations with government leaders. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers and the co-chair of the PricewaterhouseCoopers Endowment for the Business of Government. The endowment was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. To find out more about the endowment, visit us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. The Business of Government Hour focuses on outstanding government executives who are changing the way government does business. Our guest tonight is Admiral Jim Loy, Commandant of the U.S. Coast Guard. Welcome, Admiral.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Well, let's start this first segment by finding out more about the Coast Guard and its mission. We all know the Coast Guard rescues people when they're lost at sea, but could you tell us more about its activities?
I sure can. We try to keep the three M's in mind when we talk about our service. It's a military service, one of the five armed forces of the United States by law. It's also multi-missioned in nature, which suggests that we have an awful lot of things that we do for the American public. And the third M is maritime. We do virtually everything we do on the water, near the water, in a maritime service. So as one of the congressmen said last year, the Coast Guard is the United States' answer for anything wet. And so we have attempted to focus on that over the years.
Now, you began your career at the Coast Guard over 30 years ago after graduating from the academy. Can you tell us a little bit about your career and the various positions you've had?
Sure. I'm happy to do that. I probably owed you a little bit more information on your question about our service first, though. So if I may, the idea of a Coast Guard as a rescue service is probably that core that we will always have at the core of our service. We, as I often say, the last coastie on the face of the earth will be in a small boat rescuing somebody at sea. But it truly is, there are many, many other things that we do for our nation. We are into the marine safety business, which has a lot to do with the inspection and certification and licensing of mariners on all of our commercial flag vessels for the United States. And we also guarantee the safety of our waterways and the environmental protection of our waterways by being very cognizant in who visits our waters with another flag flying at their stern. That's important because the United States over the years has become far less of a flag state. In other words, we have far fewer ships flying the U.S. flag than was the case between the wars or even shortly after World War II. We're also very much into the maritime law enforcement business. We as a service are up to our ears in the law enforcement of things at sea, and there are so many dimensions of that these days, from counter-narcotics to illegal migrants and aliens, people who are literally trying to get from the have-not nations of the world to the have nation known as the United States, if you will, the constant search for the land of milk and honey. That's become an enormously impacting mission for us over the last 5 or 6 years. And you all might remember, your listeners might remember back in 94 when we had such a flood of migrants from both Haiti and Cuba in the fall and flood of that year. The Coast Guard actually saved about 65,000 lives just in the 4 or 5 months associated with those two mass migrations. And as you mentioned, our stock in trade is often search and rescue and being concerned with the growth, virtual explosion, and recreational boating over the last several years. That's very much on our minds. We also do all the aids to navigation and icebreaking work for our country. And as I mentioned at the very beginning, national defense is very much a part of our stock and trade as well. And as the Fifth Armed Service, we bring a certain set of skills to the table that complement those of the other four services. And thanks again for your question about me personally. You're right. I'm a graduate of the United States Coast Guard Academy in the class of 1964. I'm basically a sailor. I've spent about 13 years of my commission time on Coast Guard ships over the years. Have had the great honor and great pleasure of commanding four of those, all the way from patrol boats in Vietnam to our major cutters. And in the times when I wasn't at sea, I was pretty much in the personnel and training business. I taught at the Coast Guard Academy for a number of years. I ran our Officer Candidate School program for a couple of years, and was in a number of staff positions, here at Coast Guard headquarters in the personnel and training business. And after I made flag officer, I've had the great joy of commanding the 8th Coast Guard District down in New Orleans, ran our personnel and training business for a couple of years in headquarters, and was also our commander of our Atlantic area, which is was at that time headquartered in New York, now down in Portsmouth, Virginia. And just before I took this job in 1998, I was the Coast Guard's chief of staff for a couple of years, befuddled with the budget process here in Washington.
One of our guests a weeks ago made this observation. He said that the difference between the public and private sector is in the private sector, people are trained to become managers, but in the public sector, primarily the military, people are trained to become leaders. I'm wondering if you have any reflections on that.
Well, I think the distinction is one that is very different in an awful lot of our minds, that between management and leadership. Management, in many people's correct impressions, I think, is all about making the numbers add up at the bottom of the columns, the mechanics associated with accounting and being a good manager in that sense, and that they place leadership more in a in an artful sense, which has more impressions associated with vision and more impressions associated with being able to rally folks who perhaps aren't really totally focused on doing something to get that something done. And I think that's probably not a bad distinction. For me, leadership has always been about two things, one at the personal level and then one at the organizational level. I think at the personal level, we must all continue to be developers of our own capabilities about leadership. Eisenhower had a wonderful model that he used. It was a very simple one, and I've used it many times over the years. He said leadership was the combination of three things: native ability, the knowledge of one's craft, and the opportunity to exercise it. Those three dimensions were what he thought were very important. And he also went on to say that there's not much you can do about the first one. It's either in the genes or it's not there at all. So we don't have a lot to do about the native ability piece. And interestingly enough, we don't always have a lot to do with the opportunity piece. We have all known leaders that we thought were superior people that never got the chance to really be on the spot, so to speak, and be the Norman Schwarzkopf of the world or be the Douglas MacArthur of the world. But the knowledge of one's craft, and that's that interesting thing in the middle that I think is so important that I agree with Eisenhower so very much about. Therein lies your chance to perfect your own craft, whatever that may be. And you can really do that. You can spend a lot of time learning and reading and watching models and watching mentors do their thing. You can learn negative lessons and positive lessons and accrue over the years a capacity to have that knowledge of your craft such that combined with your native ability, should your opportunity come by, you will be sort of in an optimal condition to be able to exercise it well.
Well, let me ask you about leading a large and diverse group. As I understand it, you currently command, if I've added up the numbers right, 35,000 active duty military, 5,700 civilian, and 7,000 reservists. So that's a pretty large group to begin with, but also diverse. So I'm wondering what the leadership challenges are in that organization.
Well, the great leadership challenges for our service have to do with focusing on results. I am of the mind that we almost have a revolution of sorts going on here in this Washington, D.C. of ours and as a nation. I truly believe that some of the contributions like the Government Performance and Results Act, the National Performance Review, and such things as that have offered us each a chance here in Washington to make the translation between activity-based management and leadership, which we often had been mired in the past, to results-based management and leadership, which is where I think we need to go to continue to be good stewards of the taxpayers' dollar. And in that end, my greatest joy is to watch the team nature of the dimensions that you did cite just a moment ago, as well as our 35,000 volunteers across the country known as the Coast Guard Auxiliary. And if you ever if you've ever had any inclination to wonder about leading volunteers, there's a challenge in any leader's basket. That's like herding cats in large measure. But the beauty for us is that the team has come together and gelled very well.
Well, great, and it's time for a break. We'll be right back with more of the Business of Government Hour.